everybody, and welcome to the People Matters Radio Show. I'm your host, Esther Martinez. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We're very grateful to have so many of you listening to our program. As you know, this is our second episode of the second season of Talking Matters, a radio show that brings to you HR leaders that are transforming the face of HR with their work. It's such a pleasure to bring them all live on our program to learn about their journey, their learning, the message for our community. Before I introduce you to our guest for the day, which I'm sure all of you are waiting, eagerly waiting for, so I am, let me remind you that the show can be followed on Twitter with the hashtag #TalkingMatters2, that stands for Season 2 for Talking Matters, so #TalkingMatters2. Please share your comments and post your questions as well so we can take them to the show live for our guest. So today we have with us at the show, Dr. M.S. Rajan, member, Group Executive Council and Group CHRO, Tata Sons. It's such a pleasure to have Rajan with us. I met Rajan 5 years ago, very early days when we started People Matters. And at that time, M.S. Rajan used to work with E&Y. Very soon after that, he became a partner and global leader for the people and organization practice, becoming the first Indian partner to actually play a global role. And what stood up for me when I met him was his curiosity, his humility, his warmth. And this is something that I have cherished in our friendship since then. And he's been a role model not only for me but for many people within the organization as well. And I think for many of you who are listening the show today, it's such a pleasure to welcome Rajan to the show. Welcome so much and thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Esther. One of my greatest gifts is to have friends who are so kind.
So before we dive
into
the...
Hello to all the friends out there listening in.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajan. So before we dive in, how are you feeling this afternoon? How are you feeling today?
Very nervous. I am used to seeing people. So it's a little difficult for me as a format where I don't have the people I'm talking to in front of me. So I'm feeling rather nervous.
I am sure you do fantastic as you always do. So I'm going to help you by straight away going for our first question, and you will see how you warm up and feel very, very comfortable with this format. So remember, all of you readers, please, listeners, please do send your questions to Talking Matters too, as we will continuously go and take questions for Twitter. My first question, Rajan, for you is about, tell us a little more about your early influences in life. Who have shaped you, the leader you are today? And what are those ingredients that have made you successful? If you can just take us a little bit back on time and tell us a little bit about your early days and what did you learn on those periods and what made you successful as a leader as you are today?
Actually, when I look back, I realize that I've led a fairly ordinary life, Esther. But I've been very lucky to have had extraordinary moments. So when I look back, I remember instances more than individuals. There was a time when I must have been about 13 or 14, where I was actually being a little room to somebody who worked at home as a help. And I heard my father call me and say that the only thing that distinguishes you and the boy is opportunity. That thought has not left my mind. That's very, very easy to get carried away with what you get your way and very difficult to keep your balance. So that's one of the very strong memories that I have. A second one is when I was much younger, I used to study in English medium schools, but actually we were taught in the local vernacular. So I was being taught in Telugu. So by the time I reached my seventh standard, I was shifted to a public school, which was a Jesuit school. And on day one, I couldn't understand either the English or the subjects. And I was quite crestfallen. When I recall something that saved my life, I said, the only way I'm going to get over this is if I can actually go back where the subject began. So I picked up textbooks of second, third, fourth standard, fifth standard, and started doing night studies parallelly. Now, it was very, very tough. It took me 3 years to come to normal when it came to classes. But I think that memory again has been a great source of support when I start something where I don't know anything.
So what are the ingredients of, so one is all those instances that you reflected and learned some very powerful messages from. What are the other ingredients that you think have contributed to your success, both in your consulting world and now as a leader of the HR organization of a large enterprise? What are those ingredients that have made you successful?
The foremost perhaps is luck. I somehow have been really lucky in terms of having opportunities come my way. And probably a second one that I can think of is that I might have very few abilities, but I have tried really hard to make the most of them. And very often I have tried to meld what I know, what I have, even though what I need to be doing calls for a much larger expanse of knowledge. I've been able to survive with being able to connect the dots.
Yeah.
The third aspect perhaps is that I don't, in the last 33 years, I don't recall a single day where I was unhappy at work.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter whether I was in a great role, great job, poor job, didn't really matter. I somehow managed to make the most of what I got at a point of time.
So, Rajan, do you think it's actually, when you say luck, is something that you are lucky because you see those opportunities coming your way? Because I feel that, is it, how can you really be lucky consistently throughout so many years? Is it really luck, or is it the fact that you're actually open to see that luck coming your way?
Not really, Esther. In fact, in all honesty, I have been through enough times where life was difficult, where I faced adverse moments. But there's one thing that I think probably I would attribute is the fact that I've never stopped. I've been very, very fortunate, and which is why I value my family and friends, that I've had a great set of people who stood by me, who helped me stand up, helped me walk again, and helped me run. I think when you have that, so when I talk of luck, I'm not saying luck in a almost superstitious sense. I'm saying it more in the form that I've always believed, if I have to put it a little differently, there are, in any of our lives, there are two kinds of people that we normally deal with. Those we need and those who need us. And my belief is that if I can take care of these two, I will get doubly taken care of. So there is no reason for me to worry about myself alone in isolation. But I need to serve the cause of people who need me and those whom I need. So that's how I would define luck, in terms of being able to have people stand by you when you're down.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So if you were to choose one key lesson, just one, from your from your experience that you've learned along the way, you were to choose just one key lesson, what would that be?
I've learned a lot of lessons, I must admit. But if there's one, if I have to just pick one, I would say that I learned that the sun will rise tomorrow.
Do you want to elaborate? I think that's a very interesting one.
Yeah, life goes on, Esther. Life goes on. I think sometimes things get magnified depending on where you are in a given context. And one of the most frequent advices I've given to friends is to stay in their current jobs. A lot of people come to me asking, I'm planning to leave, I'm looking at these options, I wish to do this. And I always wonder whether you have given your current opportunity the best that you have. I think somewhere, we also must believe that there is a certain philosophical view of life, and there is a practical way of going about it. You need to find the balance and a blend between the two. In fact, I keep reminding myself what Napoleon said, a leader is a dealer in hope. And I think it's very, very important that you balance hope at one end and competence at the other. Because you can afford to be ambitious, want a lot of things, but the risk that you run is that if you create a gap between what you desire and what you deserve, somewhere you get lost in the valley of unhappiness. So you have to keep that hope alive and make sure tomorrow matters.
Absolutely. So we have right now, as you know, we are in conversation with Dr. N.S. Rajan, member, Group Executive Council and Group CHRO of Tata Sons. Keep sending us your questions on Twitter handle using the hashtag #TalkingMatters. We just got a question, which I'm going to, I'm not going to leave them for the end because I think let them pour in. Rajan, if you're comfortable with that, I'll just take them as we go along as well.
Please go ahead.
Perfect. So one that's come in is something that we had actually asked in the previous show, and it's a question that we really love. What is it worth fighting for, and what is not worth fighting for?
It's a good question. honestly, I must admit, I do not want to share a facile response to this because I think it's a very profound, very powerful question. I think it is worth fighting for what you believe in. Because without that clarity of purpose, without that clarity of belief, your life becomes reasonably meaningless. What is not worth fighting is the need to feel envious. I really believe that you can't get your center of equilibrium outside of yourself. When you start comparing what somebody else has, what somebody else does, what somebody else gains, it makes you smaller, it makes you weaker. So my sense is, it's never really worth fighting to get what somebody else has. It is much stronger to believe in something and fight for what you want for yourself.
Great. Thank you so much. So if you reflect on, I mean, of course, you have tremendous experience and you've obviously been in difficult and different situations throughout your career. What are you still struggling today as a leader? What is the one thing that you say, well, I'm still struggling with these as a leader, and how do you manage that?
It took me 7 years to complete my PhD, and the subject was leadership. The only confession I can make at the end of 7 years is I am still struggling to understand what leadership means. So I can put a lot of thoughts together, I can put a lot of words together, but I'm still not too sure whether you can actually encapsulate the essence of leadership in just words. So I think there is a deeper ethos, there is a deeper mindfulness, there is a deeper intrinsic worth of being a leader. So half my struggle is it possible for me to retain, let us say, integrity of thought and reason at one end? Can I retain constancy of belief? And how do I do that? Can I hold on to the spirit of generosity? Now, do I have that element in me where I can be selfless? Do I have the capacity not just to seek credit, but am I in a position to acknowledge others? Do I have firm belief in the quality of action that I undertake? Now, how do I do it consistently? How do I work towards excellence? Am I tempered somewhere by my conscience? Do I have the fitness of heart, perhaps, to do the right thing every single time? Am I in a position to earn trust of people? At the end of the day, do I still have friends and family who love me as they did yesterday?
That's so beautiful, Rajan. That's so, so beautiful. And I'm going to take another question from our listeners. I think it's probably related to the point that you mentioned earlier about how you cannot remember a day where you have not been happy at work. So there was one question from one of our listeners who says, what makes a great day at work for you? And that's coming from Dona Singh. She's asking, if you were to look at your day, what makes a great day for NS Rajan?
The capacity to keep what doesn't make a great day out of the day makes it great. Honestly, and I'll tell you in very simple terms. You know, if I'm sitting in the room, if I can't get something done right, I will walk across the room to a colleague of mine called Sandeep Chandilya, have a chat. Remarkable guy. He will share a few things and that will lift my mood. I can go the other end and meet somebody like Asha Krishnan, who is a bundle of joy, a magician in our midst, and she brings perspective. So very often, I think, as long as you know you're not alone, as long as you know that all these problems in the world are not to be handled only on, you know, your own individual spirit as a person, but that you have a larger group of people where there is a shared vision, where collectively you're together and you're willing to do things which are bigger than what each one of us can, then you're in a different world. When you're in that kind of a mode, it's very easy not to get locked into a state of desolation. I think all of us, you know, feeling sad or feeling good, that's part of being human. But I think what you need to do is find that collective energy from people you work with, from environments you belong to, or interests that you have.
Wonderful. So there's another question, Rajan, from Jasmine Charlotte, also on Twitter, saying, what has been your biggest learning from your own employees or your own people who have been working with you, not necessarily your leaders, not necessarily people that you've reported to or the CEOs of the organizations or the clients, but people who worked around you, maybe your direct reports, etc. What have you, the biggest learnings that you've got from people working around you?
You know, I have a confession here, Esther. I think Jasmine asked a very wonderful question, and I do have a confession to make that if I take all that I've learned in the last 3 decades, and I have to put it in 2 buckets, what I've learned from those above me, what I've learned from those below me, the ratio is I learned 80% from those who reported to me. And perhaps about 20% from those who were my bosses. And I'm not saying it to belittle a position or a level. And I think it just, again, like I said, it is important. If what you can achieve is limited by what you are, you have a problem. So one of the things that I've consciously done, and I can say that clearly for Ernst & Young in the past where I spent 12 years, is that I had just 2 rules when we were hiring people. I was looking for people who were clearly much, much brighter than me and people who had great attitude. So you would be surprised. I mean, I've enjoyed practically every single day at Ernst & Young because of the kind of youthful energy and the brilliance of the minds, and they had the courage and the capacity to dissent in a meaningful, in a pleasant, in a positive fashion.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I, one more question has come in, Rajan, which is a question that I know for sure you will love. It's coming from Sanjay Singh. He's saying, what is the difference, the one difference you find in HR of yesterday and today?
You know, my sense is that in the last 3 decades that I've been working, I've always been joking that the most famous topic that you keep having year on year is emerging HR. It looks like 3 decades, HR has not emerged. So, Sanjay, I really don't know whether people are supposed to emerge as great HR practitioners or whether HR has to emerge as a science. My point really is, I mean, it's what we do as individuals in a given context, understanding the essence of HR. And for me, HR is both an art and a science. And you have to be careful that you balance philosophy at one end and practice and application at the other. Otherwise, over time, tasks become rituals and you lose the impact.
So, Rajan, I have a follow-up question on Sanjay's question. And I think that is, again, something that I think we've been discussing for a very long time. But I know you have a very deep, personal, original view on what does HR should actually do to become really more effective as a strategic business partner. And I know that's very close to your heart because you've also played leadership roles in communities like NHRD and really trying to transform the community of HR. And I know this is very close to your heart. So what is your advice now that we have the community listening to you? What is your advice? What's your message for the HR professionals to be able to really move away from that conversation that we've been having for 15, 20 years to really step up and take that strategic business role? What's your message?
Esther, I really truly believe that happiness is to employees what profit is to enterprise. And therefore, if I have to put my own role, and today in the position that I'm in, I have the responsibility for a 600,000 people group, employees spread across some 140 odd countries. And when we look at a larger set of people, each of us in HR, I believe, have the role of an alchemist. We are blessed with a function which seems to be very thankless. But I think our primary goal is to be able to ensure that there is a fundamental happiness at work. There is shared vision across the organization, and people own the enterprise and become one with it. I think that's really the role of HR in my mind. I mean, you can put all kinds of practices around it, but I think at the core, I would believe that my mission is to enable. And I may not be always successful, but surely, from an attempt point of view, I will work very, very hard towards happiness at work.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajan. And thank you all listeners who are tuning in from around the country to join us today in Talking Matters, a monthly radio show that we get every Friday, first Friday of every month. We bring you inspiring leaders who are changing the landscape of HR. Right now, we are in conversation with Dr. Ines Rajan, member, Group Executive Council and Group CHRO, Tata Sons. And my flow of question is going for a toss, Rajan, because we're getting a lot of questions from the listeners, which is so exciting. So Harlina Sodhi is asking a very, very exciting question, saying, in a VUCA world, what keeps Ines Rajan awake at night?
Harlina happens to be a friend. She is a wonderful HR professional. She works for Reliance, a great company in its own right. So I'm very, very happy Harlina is asking the question. I must tell you, Harlina, that one of my weaknesses or gaps, whichever way you put it, is that I sleep within 3 minutes of hitting the bed. I've never been able to listen to a full song, VUCA or otherwise.
So what keeps you awake at night?
Nothing really. That's why I said I sleep peacefully like a baby. I try to put some nice songs and I play a song. I can never hear the full song. I'm asleep.
So let me frame the question differently. What worries you? From your perspective. From your
I'm always worried about... No, it's a very, very... again, for me, it's a very profound question in terms of what you've asked. I think the biggest worry I have are twofold. One is whether I'm living up to the expectations of those who believe in me. Second, whether I'm hurting somebody inadvertently without realizing that I'm doing it. And therefore, I'm not in a position to make amends. That hurts me.
So this is so thrilling, Rajan. You haven't realized, but we are just 4 minutes to go. And this time is flying, and we're just enjoying listening to you, and this is so exciting. And I probably have to now choose the last question. And it's tough because I have so many in front of me that the team is sharing. But I'm going to choose Shailesh Davla's question. I think it's a beautiful question. He's asking, Rajan, and we will close with this question this afternoon, how professional success can be measured? We are too worried about titles and so on and so forth. But, you know, how do we keep ourselves motivated? How do we know we are growing professionally? And what can we learn from your own journey about how do you measure your own success?
You know, the question that Shailesh has asked is a question I've asked myself very often. And the only way in which I can do justice to this question is by quoting my favorite poet, William Blake. He wrote in The Origins of Innocence, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. The day we have this gift, I think we are okay.
So, Rajan, just my last question, which I always like to close the show with, is what advice will you give to the younger self? If you were to look at yourself where you were many years ago, what is the advice you will give to a younger self?
It may sound a little rhetorical, but when you are 50 plus, it's a little difficult to believe and feel so young. But if I have to probably tell myself all over again, I think there are three things I will remind myself. One, must chisel your values, pen your vision, and pencil your strategy of life. And what I'm really implying is that, you know, strategy can change over time, you can change the context, you can look at different ways of doing it. But on the other end, your values have to be like your North Star. They remain where they are, and they guide you. And you need to be able to articulate that into a pen vision that helps you find both a clarity of your purpose, which is the ultimate destination, and the journey, the way.
Thank you so much, Rajan, and thank you so much, our listeners, for being so active, sharing your thoughts, your questions, identifying wonderful questions to bring to the show and make it so engaging and so interactive. With this, we're really coming to the end of the show. It's been a pleasure to have Rajan, and obviously you have done really, really well in this format. We're very, very excited. A friend, a mentor, and an inspiration for many of us in the HR community. A big thank you, Rajan, for joining us this afternoon.
A big thank you for everybody who's there on the other side. It has been a great pleasure, despite the fact that I still crave that I can't see your face.
So thank you so much, each one of you, for tuning in today. Remember, we will tune in again on 10th of April at 12 noon. We look forward to welcoming you all for the upcoming program. You will receive a link as well from our team. If you have registered to the show, you can also access the information on Twitter at #TalkingMatters2 or at PeopleMatters2 Twitter handle. As we close our radio show, we wish you a great and inspiring day ahead.